here's a way to kind of stay within this framework. I'll add a new, well, again, let me, maybe I'll just do it and then explain. So, first of all, so in this rule, which is somehow what starts the expansion, I'll add another term. And the other term, so each crossing either becomes a smoothing one way or a smoothing one way, or the symbol that means we are going from this smoothing to that smoothing. Okay? So I just need to decide what that symbol will be and put a few rules along with it. So let me tell you what this, let me tell you what my decision is, and then you'll see how it works. So my decision is that it will be called epsilon of, but I want the same alpha to be every time I apply this rule, and I don't, so you know, I want to say epsilon times an edge labeled alpha, okay? So that wasn't Ian. That was Karim, sorry. I want to say epsilon times an edge in the direction alpha. Okay? But I want this alpha to be the same as this one, and I have no guarantee that they will be, which one will be evaluated first. So probably the best way to do it is to simply increment alpha in advance. So I'll open parentheses here, increment alpha, and only then evaluate the rest of the expression. So let me first close parentheses. So here I don't need to increment alpha. Okay, now I'm guaranteed that this alpha is the same as that alpha. Okay? And let me add a symbol, which means, so now I need a symbol, which means I switch from this smoothing to that smoothing. What's the best symbol for that? I mean, the symbol should contain in it all the information. So, I, J, K, and L, right? So, the symbol is the crossing itself. So, let me call it X of I, J, K, and L. But I want it to happen at most once. Right, I want at most once to have epsilon times an edge. So I'll just define that epsilon squared is equal to zero. I'll just declare that epsilon squared is equal to zero. So let me add here the rule, epsilon squared is equal to zero. And now what do I get? Tag power is protected. Good. So let's learn something new. I think we did it already once, right? So, you know, suppose I want to define a new function called log. And I want log to be, to satisfy log of A plus log of B is equal to log of A times B. So this will fail because I'm trying to define a new rule for log. So what I need to do is to associate this, I'm trying to define a new rule for class. So I need to associate this rule with log. So log slash colon, the same thing, will associate it with log, and now it's a legal thing. So if I do log of 7 plus log of 5, it will be log of, yeah. Oh, I forgot the underscores, sorry. So that's log of 35, okay? So similarly here, I want it to be a definition named after epsilon, okay? And, okay, so now I have a big generating function, okay, in which sort of the terms without an epsilon are vertices, the terms with a single epsilon correspond to edges. So, so this, for example, is the vertex beginning at 1, 3, so 1, 0, 3, and ending, and it moves along coordinate 2. So it's, this is the vertex from 1, 0, 1 to 1, 1, 1. Okay, and in this vertex, I see a cycle labeled 1, a cycle labeled 2, and, well, I still need to digest this information, right? I still need to know how this becomes information about whether the two cycles merge or break up, okay?
What about epsilon cubed at the bottom?
Epsilon cubed at the bottom?
Yeah.
Oi, I should have made it epsilon to any power is equal to 0.
Then epsilon 1 would be 0.
No, any power greater than 1. So, so in fact, I could have made it explicit, by the way. So there are conditional rules, and here's a good time to learn about them. So, you know, I could define... No, I think we did that already, possibly, when we talked about Fibonacci. But, you know, I could define f of x to be...
Isn't log, isn't that the conditional? Slash?
No, this is not a condition. This is what this... What symbol is this rule associated with? So it's associated with the symbol log. Whenever it sees log, it tries to apply this rule. Okay? But, you know, I could define f of x to be x squared if x is greater than 0 and so that would be my first definition, and then f of x is x cubed if x is smaller than 0. Okay? And then, just to see that it works, let's plot f of x for x going from minus 1 to 1. Sorry, got it right down. I've put an unnecessary open bracket here. And so, well, this is, I guess it's hard to see, but this is x cubed, and this is, so you know what, let's just make this one just x itself. And yeah, now it's more obvious. Okay? So, why did I do that?
For n,
right, so it would have worked without it, but I could have made it slash semicolon if n is greater than 1. Okay? Mm-hmm. And now the epsilon cubed should have gone away. Okay. by the way, it's getting more and more barbaric, but it will work. Now, okay, but now how do I read off from the information I have here, which cycles merged and which cycles combined? Well, I actually can't, okay? But I could if I had not done the last step. So let's temporarily not mark the cycles. So let me not do this step temporarily. How should I avoid doing it? Let me apply the empty set of rules instead of this rule. So I'll turn it into a set, and I'll put a semicolon here, which will make it null. So this is a hack. I'm just basically telling you how to comment out something. So if I do a set with an element A, I'll get a set with an element A. If I do A semicolon, it's null. It's not.
But you can literally count it out by just parentheses and star.
Sorry?
You can literally count it out by parentheses and star.
Parentheses and star?
He's saying, why don't actually comment it?
Yeah, I could comment it out. That's true. So you know what? Let's just comment it out. It's probably less
literally ugly.
I'm sorry. So, but I want to comment out also the rule application. So I have to comment out from here to here. So temporarily, I don't want to do this. Now I have the information that I need. Okay. So now, let's look at an edge here. Say here. Okay. So I have here a smoothing that could go either 3, 6, 4, 1 or the other way, multiplied by some paths. And that's enough information to figure out which cycle, to figure out how the cycles go. Okay? So let me show you how. So basically, all of the edge terms here are of the form xijkl times a path between these two indices and pairing two of these indices and another path pairing two of these indices. Right? Yeah?
If so, you're going to need to comment out the much earlier rule where you start combining paths already, too.
No, I actually do want to combine paths. So, you look, I have a crossing, I, J, K, L, right? And I have paths outside of it, okay? And two of these paths will connect two of the indices on the crossing. I mean, each one will connect two of the indices on the crossing. So I want to contract everything away from the crossing. Mm-hmm. Or I can contract everything away from the crossing. So precisely, the rule is, now there are two possibilities. So, the crossing itself smoothes to this is the zero smoothing, or that, this is the one smoothing. The outside of the crossing can be either a connection of I and L, or a connection of J and K, I and L and J and K, or a connection of I and J and K and L. Okay? So basically, if I see an xij with a path from I to j, and a path from k to l, then what type of edge is it? So, sorry, I should have said that this is a path along which the minimum is m, and this is a path along which the minimum is n. So the zero smoothing of this will, right, so I is connected to j, and k is connected to l, so the zero smoothing will be two cycles. And these two cycles will be a cycle m, a cycle n, and on the other end of the edge, sorry, cycle m, cycle n, and on the other end of the edge, I will have, well, the two cycles get merged, so it will be a cycle of minimum of m and n. And then, if I have x, I, j, k, l, and the paths are I to L with minimum M and K, J to K with minimum N, then it's exactly the opposite. Then that's a breaking up of C of the minimum of M and N into C of M, C of N. Okay? So all I have to do is to enter these rules. So let's do it, and where does it happen? Where does it happen? So I've contracted everything, and now I have to add this rule. So let's add a pair of rules now. One. So let me, I'll just open parentheses to make it tools. And the rules are x of I, j, k, and l times a path from I to j with minimum m times a path from k to L with minimum n. So this should be replaced by a factor which means two cycles combined. And I may as well just use the same notation. So the notation will be C of n goes to C of minimum of m and n. Okay, so that's the first rule, and then the second rule is, allow me to copy paste a bit. In fact, no, let's not do too much, it would be too dangerous. So if I have a path from what was it, IL with minimum m, and a path from j to k with minimum n, then that becomes the rule, the cycle at the minimum of m and n, mean of m and n breaks up into, sorry, I should close parentheses, breaks up into a cycle at m, cycle at n. I think this should do. Let's see. Yeah, so now, right, so this is a vertex term, and it looks like a vertex term. But in all edge terms, I have factors saying, so this is C1 breaking up into C1, C2. Here is C2, C3 becoming a C2. And in addition, there is a cycle which is untouched, and it's a one cycle. Right? Because the minimum along it is one. So let me uncomment out this. And now I have the full information. So if I'll take the coefficient, okay, if I'll take T1 and apply to it epsilon goes to zero, I'll get only the vertices. If I'll take the coefficient of epsilon within T1, or alternatively, I'll differentiate with respect to epsilon and substitute epsilon is equal to zero, then this is the edge information. So I should have 12 edges, 6 times 2, so 12 edges, and this is the, well, I don't know, let's look at this edge. So this is the edge starting at 001 and ending at 101, and along this edge, the cycle labeled 1 and the cycle labeled 2 will come merge into the cycle labeled 1. So we've achieved part 1 of our goal, and it took, I don't know, a screen full of nonsense. Am I happy? Well, okay, let's cut one down. Okay, am I happy? What's wrong with this? First of all, okay, I think the main thing that's wrong is we've been over clever. The computational complexity of this is 3 to the n instead of 2 to the n. Right? Each crossing became a sum of 3 terms. So I after I expand, I have 3 to the n terms. Most of them die very quickly, but I still temporarily have 3 to the n terms. So for 10^132, do we have a chance of computing it? So 3 to the 10, how much is 3 to the 10? 3 to the 10. Oh, that's nothing. Yeah, we still have a chance. The problem will work. But it would probably be better if we did something else. Okay, I mean, it's still, let's put it this way, it's still ugly. Okay? But we have all the basic ideas. So okay. Maybe I'll stop, but I'll stop here, but I guess my next goal will be to do the same in 2 to the n time instead of 3 to the n time. Okay? Let's stop.